All right, good morning, everyone. It's 8:30. I'll call this meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call. David?
David Jordan, present.
Kirby Matoxin, present.
Lisa Summers, present.
DeHassa Hill, present.
Brandon Stevens, present.
Daniel Guzman King, present.
Ernest Stevens, present.
Jenny Webster, present.
So I'll do the opening this morning. Daunaga Njokwa, Sunhunsiose, Chinatendu, Ganheladungsla, Aguegos, Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigulada, Tinoeladu, Nain, Nukinuha, Unjage, G. Sego, Yonadliwan, Dido Hadidatu, and Duhakin Guatnigul, Aguegos, Kajia, Dwahwe, Nuni, and Guatnigulada, Tinoeladu, Nain, O Negano Sogo, G. Sego, Yonadliwan, Dido Hadidatu, and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatni Guladai Tinoeladu Nain Onegli Suha G Sego in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatni Gul Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatni Guladai Tinoeladu Nain Gahiondis Awahit G Sego in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatni Gul Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatni Guladai Tinoeladu Nain Onunquat Togu G Sego in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatni Gul Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatni guladai tinawe ladu nain oyunqua un. G sego in aliwan diero hadidatu and duhakin guatni gul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatni guladai tinawe ladu nain asanate gudahun daily. G sego in aliwan diero hadidatu and duhakin guatni gul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatni guladai tinawe ladu nain. Nain Galunda Suha, G Sego in Aliwan Tiro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigo. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Gundilia Suha, G Sego in Aliwan Tiro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigo. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Gunjokwa, G Sego in Aliwan Tiro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigo. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Ojita Suha, G Sego in Aliwan, Diero Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Owela Suha, G Sego in Aliwan, Diero Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Ledisa Gayondese, G Sego, Lanaliwan, Diero Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Gajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain Yodahlo Sukwajiha, G Sego, the Nadliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula Daitinaway Ladu, Nain Yunkisota Hue Nidale, G Sego, Yunkinigula Daitatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula Daitinaway Ladu, Nain Yoji Stokwalu, G Sego, in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula Daitinaway Ladu, Nain Gaye Nyungwedage, G Sego in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula Daitinaway Ladu, Nain Skanadalio, G Sego in Aliwan Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula Daitinaway Ladu, Nain Sunquai Disu, G Sego in Aliwan, Diro Hadidatu and Duhakin Guatnigul. Dani.
Yeah.
All right, so this morning we have some recognitions to do. We have a special recognition for retirement and years of service for Sandra Stevens, Michelle Dockstader.
Good morning. I would just like to say a few words about Sandy. She's been with the tribe since March 5th, 1982. And some of the things that have changed, the list is long, but one of the things that hasn't changed is Sandy's contribution to the nation in her job duties and her role as a mom and a grandmother and how much money has ran through this woman's hands just doing deposits on a daily basis is beyond me. But she's taken care to take care in all the things that she's done with us over the years. And I just really want to tell her that I appreciate everything that she's done. Thank you. March 5th. You're not going to say anything?
No.
All right. Next up, we have special recognitions for years of service. We have 23 Oneida Nation employees. Geraldine Danforth.
This is only a partial list. We had the group was so big that we had to split it in two, so we will be doing the other half, I think, at the end of July. So we're here today to recognize our employees for their time and dedication to the Oneida Nation. We have employees that are reaching 40, 45 years to the nation, but today our employees with the most years are 35. 35 years ago, the Oneida Health Center at the corner of E&EE was dedicated on July 29th. The Indian Child Welfare Act was passed by Congress. 30 years ago, there was a handwritten advertisement in the gully about fresh produce and meat at the One Stop. Food stamps are now being accepted. The grand opening occurred for the Irene Moore Activity Center. 25 years ago, we had the grand opening of the Oneida One Stop at E&EE. There was a time capsule buried at the Norbert Hill Center in commemorative of the 150th anniversary of the 1838 Treaty of Buffalo Creek, which established the current reservation. It is not scheduled to be reopened until 2088 at the 250-year anniversary of the treaty. So those are some things that occurred while these employees start working for us. So we will start off today with David Charles with 35 years of service.
Good morning. David has provided 35 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. David has proven to be an invaluable asset to the department with job knowledge and his willingness to help wherever he can. It is a pleasure working with David, as he has a quiet personality with a genuine kindness that makes a positive difference in our workplace. David approaches his job with professionalism and performs it with integrity while providing excellent guest service at the same time. Truly an impressive combination of talent. It's been my pleasure working with you, David.
Next, we have Linda Verhagen with 35 years of service.
Linda started in April 4th, 1983 at IMAC, Irene Moore Activity Center, working in the kitchen. For the last 12, she's been working at the Oneida Surveillance Department. 17 years in the surveillance department. She's been an asset to the tribe. She's very workable. She does the goes above and beyond. And it helps me as a supervisor for supervisors. She always goes out of the way and very friendly for the tribe. She's a very good asset to the nation. And I would like to congratulate her for all the years of service.
Next, we have Jennifer Webster with 35 years of service.
So Jennifer has provided 35 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Jennifer started off working in Bingo Hall in 1983. I was 3 years old. From there, she served the nation as an accounting clerk for gaming and went on to spend several years working as a travel coordinator and supervisor for the nation. If you had somewhere to go, Jenny would make sure you got to where got there. In August of 2014, she was elected as a council member of the Oneida Business Committee. It has been a pleasure working with Jennifer as she is has a great personality and makes positive difference in our workplace. Jennifer takes her job seriously and performs it with integrity while providing excellent customer service at the same time. Truly an impressive combination of talent. So on behalf of the Oneida Nation and the Oneida Biz Committee, we'd like to thank you for your years of service.
I can say it's ouch, so a little. Elaine Parker, who's unable to make it, had 30 years of service. Our next is Bruce King with 30 years of service.
Who is not here?
Here to speak, Bruce.
Nervous. <All right.
laughs> Okay, Bruce has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Bruce started off working in June 6th of 1984. It is a pleasure working with Bruce as he has a super personality and makes a positive difference in our workplace. Bruce takes his job seriously and performs it with integrity while providing excellent customer service at the same time. Truly an impressive combination of talent. Congratulations on your service. Next, we have Randall Cornelius with 30 years of service.
So Randy's 30th year was last Wednesday, marked his 30 year, and he actually did have a break in service, so he has more than 30 years of continuous, non-continuous put together. And here's what we wrote. We actually got together as a group.
Not me.
I'll write what you can hear. I'll read what you can hear. Randy has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Deha's accomplishments center around his passion and belief in Jitney Yungwa Lehota. He has been continuously working to teach both in the various positions and formats over the years and the class that has diligently followed him from building to building as we moved around. We try to hide him, and they keep following him anyway. Those years of experience have resulted in several written and recorded projects to ensure that the Oneida language continues on. He has brought his cultural knowledge to both youth and adults, not only through teaching, but through programs such as Rites of Passage and the language program, which he has conducted several times over the years. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Randall for his unwavering dedication to the Oneida Nation and its community. Thank you.
Next, we have Sharon Summers with 30 years of service. Cheryl Smith, 30 years of service.
I could stand up here and praise Cheryl for 30 years of service. Actually, it's today is her 30th anniversary. Actually, when I started, I'm on my 26th year, I believe. Cheryl actually trained me at Irene Moore Activity Center, and she's been wearing the same shirt for 30 years. At same smoke shop shirt for 30 years. And Michelle actually took what I was going to say, how many. So I'm going to add how many cigarettes has passed this lady's hands. It's unbelievable. And for those that have been in the business, Cheryl trained me on a suite of cash register. That's how long ago this has been. So I'd like to thank you for your service very much, Cheryl. And she continues to work for us at the Oneida Retail, and she's over at 54 every single day. She's more reliable than a lot of these millennials that are coming in. She shows up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning to open up the store. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Next, we have Kathy Matoxin with 25 years of service. She hiding somewhere? Oh, come on back there. Next, we have Cindy Matoxin with 25 years of service. Okay, now it's my turn to give one of my employees a hard time. Maureen Matoxin with 25 years of service. She's here. In 1991, Maureen accepted the role of a bingo caller for Oneida TV Bingo. But then she was still working over at James River at the time. James River? Okay. In 1993, she came back to work for the Nation in gaming accounting and later as an executive assistant in the compliance division. 15 years later, she moved over to human resources as my executive assistant. She's been my right hand through everything. She gets a lot of things done and ready for me, just like this stuff she has me ready to go each time we're here. She has hardworking staff, and she's dedicated. She makes sure that we get our papers in electronic form so that you guys don't have to print, you can fill in. She does all of those things for us, and she's a very nice person to have as my partner. Thank you for your years of service. Shelly Brusky with 25 years of service.
Shelley has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. It's a pleasure working with Shelley as she has a super personality and makes a positive difference in our workplace. Shelley takes her job seriously and performs it with integrity while providing excellent guest service at the same time. Truly an impressive combination of talent. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
And then Robert Nearing. Robert has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. It's a pleasure working with Robert as he has a super personality and makes a positive difference in our workplace. Robert is a very valued employee who shows dedication by committing himself to the department. He brings thoroughness, accuracy, neatness, and dependability. Robert is always busy, and you can tell he takes pride in his job. We are very proud to celebrate his 25 years with him, and we want to say thank you to Robert for his years of service and commitment. And then we have Brandy. Lori McNichols. Lori is a very valued employee due to her accuracy, neatness, and game pace. Lori is always willing to help when needed and takes pride in every duty that she performs. Lori is well respected by her peers and well liked by all customers. We are very proud to celebrate 25 years of service with Lori on behalf of the Oneida Nation. Carrie Manthe. It's a pleasure working with Carrie as she has fun and upbeat personality, but it is Carrie's work ethic and attention to details that make her stand out. She can always be depended on to make sound decisions and handles all situations with ease. Thank you, Carrie. Oh, Joel Zember. You're hiding on me. Yeah. last one. There we go. Okay, Joel's wealth and knowledge plays an important role in our success. He has been an example of hard work and dedication. Joe is seen as a resource for others due to the way that he performs his job duties. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
The other employees that have 25 years of service in table games is Tammy Romlow, James Burke, Robert Apple, Richard King, and Brandy Nija.
And now we have Kathy Metoxin with 25 years of service.
Good morning, everyone. Kathy has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation, known to us as Kathy, not Kathleen. She started off working with the business committee offices through a training program to design to assist tribal members in gaining the skills needed to be successful in the workplace. And throughout the years, Kathy has continued to take that responsibility and expand on it. And I know that when I first came to work for the business committee, Kathy was a very integral part in teaching me the ropes around here, and I will always be grateful for all of the work and the time and the commitment that she's put into the BC Support Office while I've been the tribal secretary. So thank you for your 25 years of commitment.
That will do it for today. So we thank all of these employees for their time, dedication to the Oneida Nation. So let's give them one more round of applause, please. Thank you.
steps.
Lisa.
All right, moving on to the next section, we have to adopt the agenda.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
There's just a couple noted, one requested change, and then a couple noted adjustments. The first one is to let us know that we agreed to delete item 14B and hold a separate BC meeting on that in order to complete the materials for the packet. So that item is being requested to be deleted today. And then also we need to correct or update the title for executive session item number 15F8. And the corrected title should read Review Wisconsin Department of Health Services Family Care Agreement between the Division of Medicaid Services and Oneida Nation and Lakeland Care Incorporated, and determine next steps, file number 2018-0798. And those are the only adjustments for the agenda today. So with that, I'll make a motion to adopt.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the oaths of office. We have the Oneida Election Board alternate, Michelle John. Can you please come up to the mic, please?
Michelle John. Michelle John.
Hereby promise.
Hereby promise.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
Of the United Nation.
Of the United Nation.
The General Tribal Council.
The General Tribal Council.
And the Tribal Constitution.
And the Tribal Constitution.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability.
And on behalf of the Oneida people.
And on behalf of the Oneida people.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
As a member of, and then please state your board name.
As a member of Michelle John. As a member of the Oneida Election Board.
And all recommendations shall be made.
And all recommendations shall be made.
In the best interest of the Oneida Nation.
In the best interest of the Oneida Nation as a whole.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Super nervous.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on our agenda is the minutes. We have to approve the June 13th, 2018 regular minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer Webster, second by Brandon Stevens. Any just further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on our agenda is standing committee. We have the Finance Committee. Approve the June 18th, 2018 Finance Committee minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David Jordan, seconded by Ernie Stevens. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next standing committee is Legislative Operating Committee. We got the accept the June 6th LOC meeting minutes.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, under LOC, is to accept the Children's Code Implementation Quarterly Update.
So moved.
Second for discussion.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Lisa for discussion.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What you have before you is the Children's Code Implementation Quarterly Update. When the Children's Code was adopted by the Business Committee in July of 2017, the Business Committee directed that an implementation plan be created, that quarterly updates be brought before the Business Committee, and that a one-year review be brought once the code is implemented. This is the third quarterly update. So if you look through this, this details the accomplishments, the goals, requests and challenges that the various departments that are involved with the implementation are facing. I'd like to take just a couple minutes just to run over a couple of the details with you. So for the Oneida Family Court, some of the accomplishments is the new judge has been hired and has been started. A new family court clerk has been hired and will be starting later this summer. There have been over 30 various forms and guides already developed, and that work is currently ongoing to complete the rest of the forms and guides that will be necessary for the implementation. And the family court has acquired and installed video conferencing equipment into the courtrooms. So the goals for the next quarter of implementation will be the training of the new clerk for the current caseload and for the Children's Code, the overall development and training for the family court on the Children's Code, as well as the development of training for guardian ad litem in regards to the Children's Code and the recruitment of more guardian ad litem. So I asked the family court to provide information on any requests they would make of the business committee, and the one thing they would request of the business committee for assistance is assistance in the recruitment of guardian ad litem. So if the business committee can communicate to the community the need for guardian ad litem for not only the Children's Code but all family court cases, that will be very helpful, and training will be developed and upcoming for anyone interested in joining as a guardian ad litem. For the Indian Child Welfare Department, some accomplishes is all additional staff that was required has been hired, except for the paralegal position, which has been posted and it's currently undergoing the hiring process. Training for current and new staff is underway, both internal training and training with a partnership with Wisconsin Child Welfare Professional Development System. The development of MOUs has been underway. So an MOU with Outagamie County has been developed and is currently going through the approval process. And the ICW department has been working with the OPD to develop an MOU for both their departments that will describe their relationships and communications. So ICW's goals for the next quarter include hiring the paralegal position, securing an MOU with Outagamie County, securing an MOU and 161 agreement with Brown County, and securing the MOU with OPD. ICW for the next quarter will also like to focus on additional training and the development of the additional standards that will be needed to implement the Children's Code. ICW would also like to look further into their kinship care program and move towards being inclusive of kinship care that will be ordered by the court. And ICW as a goal will like to make some determinations as to their database access. A question they're facing right now is if they are granted access to Wisconsin's statewide automated child welfare information system, also known as EWSAQIS, should they utilize that database or should they look for a different database to use? So ICW has kind of described some various challenges and barriers to the implementation. Some of the biggest challenges that they've faced so far have been delays in the hiring process. We in the beginning thought that 3 months would be sufficient to hire the additional staff, and that time was more than doubled. So the delay in the hiring process led to delays in training and development because you can't train the staff until they're there. There were also delays in the 161 agreement and MOU negotiations. One of the biggest challenges has been just getting all the right officials from both governments in the room at the same time. So working with everyone's schedules was more difficult than originally anticipated. And one of the biggest challenges ICW has faced in the Children's Code implementation has been the unknown. So this is a new process that's being developed through the nation, and as they're working towards implementation, there's been a lot of issues that came up that were not anticipated. So just handling any unanticipated challenges has cut up, has been a barrier thus far. And ICW shared a concern, and one of ICW's biggest concerns for the implementation of the Children's Code has to do with the effective date of the Children's Code. So when the Children's Code was adopted, the adopting resolution required the law to become effective 15 months after the adoption of the fiscal year 18 budget. The fiscal year 18 budget was adopted by GTC on October 8th, 2017. So this means that the Children's Code will become effective on January 8th, 2019. ICW has concerns that because of the delays in hiring, training, and development, and the delays in the negotiations of the various MOUs and 161 agreements, that they will not be prepared to implement the Children's Code by January 8, 2019. So for requests for the United Business Committee, ICW requests that if the nation's ICW department is granted full EWSACWIS access by Wisconsin, that the business committee will assist in the determination of if this is a system the department should use or if we should look for a different database. ICW would also like the business committee to assist in the approval of the various standards that will have to be developed for the nation. And most importantly, ICW asked the Oneida Business Committee for support and understanding that the implementation of the Children's Code has been a very involved and complicated process, and that although it is taking time to complete, ICW is approaching the implementation of this law with great care and thoughtfulness in order to ensure the successful implementation. And then the last bit of the update is in regards to the 161 agreement negotiation team. So the 161 agreement negotiation team has been working with Outagamie County to discuss MOUs and 161 agreements. The two departments have come to an agreement on the MOU and the 161 agreement, and those agreements are currently going through the approval process in the county. Brown County has been presented a copy of the proposed 161 agreement and MOU, and we're hoping to have meetings set up between the two departments very soon. So the goals for Outagamie County, the goal would be to have final approval of the two documents and then to schedule a meeting between leadership in the nation and leadership in Outagamie County for the final approval and signing of the agreements so that there's a formal recognition of the importance of providing support and care for children and families. And the goal is to secure a Brown County MOU and 161 agreement. So that's a very brief update of the implementation that has been occurred and some of the goals for the next implementation quarter.
Lisa.
Just a quick question on that last one for the agreement itself. It's noted in here that there would be looking for a formal signing for the Outagamie County one and for us. What is the time frame looking like for that at this point?
Michelle.
Thank you. Right now, we do have a formalized finalization of both agreements. It's our understanding that Outagamie County is now taking that to the county board. And so I do know George Scannador is going to make contact with Rosemary, who is their director of their department, to find out the timeline at what they're looking at for getting that approval from the county board. So we have it ready to go. It's just their timeline, and George is checking into that. We can certainly send an email update to you once we do have that information.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking, just to get an idea, we have our next work meeting on the 17th of July, and we're not going to be able to answer some of these requests for the business committee today. And so what I'm going to do is make a subsequent motion to send this update to our work session so that we can have a more specific conversation around those three requests that the business committee is being asked to take charge for. And so I don't think there's going to be a problem with that, but we just need to work out the details and what needs to happen, and if there has to be adjustments in the timelines, we can have those conversations at that point. So that is just, I just want to make sure that we're not inadvertently, you know, detracting the progress from Outagamie County.
No, because we don't have a specific date
okay.
yet.
Okay, so we should be good then.
And if I can just update on Brown County a little more, Assistant Corporation Counsel Sam Wagner, who is the corporation counsel that does all of the child welfare in Brown County, she is the one that I sent the original drafts to. She's had meetings with the supervisors for the Brown County Children and Families. That process was delayed because she's had them since April. And she was going to have their meeting in April, but then the federal department audited, and Brown County was one of the audits, and so everything else went to the wayside while that audit was taking place. So she did have a chance to meet with the supervisors in May, just told me she had another recent meeting. She's asked for Word drafts of those documents, which I did send to her now this week, so that she can make their suggested changes. She did send me an email explaining what their concerns were. Once she's made those changes, suggested changes, and sends them to us, we're going to meet and then start having those joint meetings together with Brown County.
All right, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Okay, my first comment is regarding the delay in the hiring process, and you know that goes back to the freeze on hiring and what that caused to this entity. And then you know the floodgates are open and we're going to hire more people than we ever had. So how unfortunate that that delay in hiring affected this department, because we have a deadline. So that's my comment on that. When you were speaking of the barriers, and then you spoke, some of those are being dealt with, the MOA and other entities that you're working with, Brown Outagamie County and OPD. The comment or the question I have is in your comment that you're developing standards. And so when I get done, I'll ask for what did you mean by developing standards, because you know, the children's code should have those standards in it. The other question, I guess, or comment that I have is in the Gully Wee Sox, and I'll give an example. If I had a grandchild that, for whatever reason, their mother, my daughter, was refusing to let me have visitation or access to the child, a grandparent can go to court and get supervised, not supervised, can grandparents have rights to see and have interaction with their children. Where my concern is that those people's names are being published in the Gully Wee Sox. And that is private family business, I believe. Names of people are being published. And so it's regarding a minor child. And previously, all of the court issues within the appeals commission before it turned into the judiciary were listed in the Gully Wee Sox. So you knew people's personnel issues, their personal family issues that were going on, and all that stopped. So I'm looking, I guess, for clarification on these issues. And in the most recent Gully Wee Sox, there are some cases that are listed. And to me, that's really an invasion of a person's or a family's privacy, because you are dealing with minor children. Then the only other comment I want to make is on page 39, where it says Oneida Indian Child Welfare Department. And at the bottom, it says Indian Child Welfare reviewed and offered input on Indigenous healer practitioner job description. And so I'm looking for, I guess, information on, you know, why that person would be employed in that area when there's already a department, and to caution people who self-appoint themselves as a healer, an Indigenous healer practitioner, and that they need to have credentials and credibility. And, you know, who defines those credentials and credibility and background, because people are being picked out of certain families or certain entities, and they're being labeled as healers. And in my view or my interpretation, no, they're not. And so who, you know, will be applying for these jobs, and who's going to say who's a healer and who's a not? And so I'm going to caution, you know, a job description when we need workers and people who can attend court, lawyers, people in the judiciary that are going to be looking at the matters of our children, and then you're adding another indigenous healer job description into that entity. And I think that's all.
Rob?
I can answer Nancy's question about the newspaper. The decisions of the family court are not published in the newspaper. What does sometimes get published are notices of the hearings. So if a party is unable to serve another party by personal service or by mail service, what happens is the case caption gets published with the notice indicating the date and time of the hearing, so the parties have an opportunity to see when that hearing is and show up and participate. As for the other concerns, I'll turn that over to the LRO.
In regards to the question of the Indigenous Healer Practitioner job and why ICW would be reviewing and providing input on this job, this position will be under cultural heritage, but when we looked at involving a cultural healer, a wellness facilitator, into the child welfare process, we did a case study of how many cases the current individuals at cultural healing had, and their caseload was too big to take on the child welfare issues. And for that reason, there was an addition of more cultural healers added into the program. Those healers will be working with the child welfare cases, with the families, with the children. And for that reason, ICW assisted in the review and providing input for that position.
Lisa?
I also want to address the comment that was made about the hiring process. Just to be clear, so that we're not being confused about what had taken place, there was not a hiring freeze that was taking place at that point. There was a cap on the total number of employees that we could carry. There is a distinct difference between the two approaches in policy. But I do understand the concern. And if you could just explain a little bit about what had taken place, because my understanding that we just had problems getting applicants, period. That's the way that I kind of understood what was taking place. So if you could just explain that a little bit more, so just for everybody's benefit, that would be appreciated.
And I don't have the specific details that the ICW department would have, unfortunately, but I think it was just a whole lot of reasons that kind of led into the difficulty. Now, part of it was not having enough applicants. Part of it was going through the hiring process and offering positions to applicants and having them decline.
Yep.
So I think there was a lot of different things that kind of happened all at the same time that led to it being delayed.
Right. And I think it's just important to note that it wasn't because there was a freeze happening. Our hiring processes have been working, and that wasn't part of the delay. So when we have somebody who we have a pool of people that accept a position and then decline it, that kind of kicks the process starting all over again. And so that does cause those kinds of things to be pushed back then, because you have to kind of begin that process over. So just wanted to make sure that that's clear. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to call for the question.
All right, Lisa.
I had a question.
Lisa, call for the question.
Of course.
She was recognized. We don't need that type of attitude up here this morning.
I need to say it.
No, you don't. That's inappropriate comments at this time, and if you can't conduct yourself respectfully, I'll ask you to leave the meeting. Thank you. So I'm going to recognize the call for the question. There's a motion on the table by Kirby Matoxin, seconded by Lisa Summers, to accept the updated implementation, quarterly update. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa, you had a subsequent motion?
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to also request that this report or this update be sent to the work meeting, the BC work meeting for July, so that we can address the specific items that have been requested for the Oneida Business Committee to follow through with.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jenny. Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Mike, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. It's just one question. And my question to you guys is first off, thank you for the report and for the information. Secondly, my question to you is this. Has that legal resource Source Office or the Office of General Tribal Council or whatever you guys are calling it, have they been in contact with any of you guys to discuss this issue of the Children's Court implementation? Because the reason why I asked that question is because on their last quarterly report or on their last report that was turned in, they had specifically designated that the number one caseload that they would have would be children's. And I'm wondering whether or not that office or anybody from that office has reached out to you guys to discuss this issue.
Mike, are you asking the business committee or the LRO office?
Either one, because I'm not sure that they have, because if they have, why would they be here today to address some of these issues?
Mike, Rob? The Legal Resource Center has had meetings with the judiciary staff regarding the family court cases, and we're open to having future meetings with them as well.
And what was the outcome of some of those meetings?
Well,
are they up to date on this and knowing that the implementation of this is going to be pushed beyond January 2019?
Well, I don't think a decision has been made to push the implementation back. I think it's a possibility, and the court will be in touch with the Legal Resource Center in case they want to have additional meetings with us.
Is it? Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mike. Lisa?
I just wanted to provide a little bit more as well in speaking as one of the new liaisons now for that area, in speaking with both the people who are employed over there. They're starting, Mike, just so you reference, so for your reference, so you know that their timeline to open their doors is August 1st, and they're on track to meet that timeline. And so once that process starts, they do understand that they will start accepting these things as the laws and the rules are implemented, so they are aware of the timeline. And I do agree with the judge's observation that we haven't made a decision about pushing anything back. That's one of the things that we'll be discussing in the work meeting, and to have more conversation about that, to figure out what we need to do in order to ensure that the law is being implemented in accordance with what we had agreed upon. So there's a couple of different steps that still need to take place, but they are aware, and they're on a separate timeline. They'll be opening their doors August 1st, and then as the tribe continues to develop and pass laws, they will continue to take on those things as necessary.
All right, Kathy, you have to speak.
Yes, is the Memorandum of Understanding and the Memorandum of Agreement, as stated on page 40, is that in the packet? And if not, where can I find it?
That information is currently confidential because it hasn't been approved. It's between the ICW department here and the county department on working out those details. So that information has not been put into any packets thus far.
Okay, so if something inappropriate is in it, well, we won't find out until after it's approved. Is that what you're saying? It's just a question, real simple, yes or no?
No.
And what does EWISACWIS mean? On page 41 at the very bottom.
It's a long term, Kathy, for the state database. It's the Wisconsin Children's, it's just a long term. It's basically the database for which they keep track of all children that come into care. Workers put their case notes in there as to what's occurring when they go out to visits to the homes. And right now the county is responsible for that, because right now the county obviously has jurisdiction and we work alongside. At the current time, tribes only have, we have a read-only access to that. We can't actually enter information. That has been a bit of a sticking point with both counties, because that's all we have right now is access. And we don't know how far off we would have full access to EWISACWIS to be able to enter that information. So that's one of the things that she mentioned in there, as to whether or not we have our own database. So we've been working with the counties on that issue, because that is a big concern of theirs, because they'd still be taking the time to enter that information.
Okay. And Nancy had brought up the grandparent visitation. I have a question. With the guardian ad litem on page 39, is it appropriate for a family member to be a guardian ad litem to a child's case?
I would say no. That's obviously a conflict.
That would be a conflict of interest if somebody's niece or nephew or grandchild was involved. I'm just curious about.
Not a point of order. I think I would point of order.
The determination of whether a guardian ad litem is an appropriate place to be appointed to any individual case is a unique and specific decision regarding that case. General responses regarding whether or not it would be appropriate are really just that. They're general, and they cannot be assigned to any specific individual case that may be in front of the judiciary or any other court system.
I took guardian ad litem classes, training. I'm trained to be a guardian ad litem, so I was just curious about that within the tribal structures, if that's appropriate or not. Because in my mind, it's not. And about sealed files, is there anything regarding sealed files in this document? Or, you know, when a child's adopted out, they're sealed their files and they're no longer Oneida, and they can't get back.
Kathy, you might have to call a point of order on that line of questioning. We're talking about the update to implementation of the quarterly for the children's code, and that's not anywhere on this in this packet or on this item.
So there's nothing about adoptions or anything like that in a children's code.
This is an update to the implementation of the children's code.
Okay, just a question. It wasn't meant for anger or anything like that.
Ed, you got 5 minutes.
I know in the South and some places where people have real extreme religious beliefs, they actually fight having their children seen by a doctor. They completely believe in what they believe in. And I believe the courts or the federal government or somebody has mandated to these people, you know what? If your child is being deprived of health care that interferes with his health, someone who speaks up for these children who have people who are preventing them from having the best medical care provided. And I'm asking this because of the cultural wellness or the cultural healers. Now, if they provide a cultural answer to that, who's going to ensure that this child is receiving the adequate medical care that a child that he needs to be healthy, to live? Is there a department, maybe Indian Child Welfare or the guardian ad litem, who will protect that child in case the family decides that the cultural healer is going to have all the authority? I know in regular courts, someone speaks for that child, or someone brings that child to the attention of the courts, or somebody orders that child to get the adequate care and shots to make sure that that child is protected. That's in the best interest of the child.
Lisa?
Ed, if I'm understanding your question correctly, I think there's a misunderstanding. The way that I understand the report and the way that it was articulated to us is that the team working on the implementation of the code only provided input to a job description that's actually housed in a different area of the organization. And we are using the cultural healers as part of our efforts to ensure that we have alternative practices for those people who want to choose to use that method, but it's through the Cultural Heritage Department. It's not through ICW. It's not through this part of the organization. And all that they are indicating to us at this point is they provided input to ensure that any concerns that they may have regarding it are covered. But to answer the second part then, yes, there are people who would be assigned to help preserve and protect the rights of the child if there's cases like that come forward.
Okay, thank
Brandon.
You. Yeah, just to add, that's what the Indian Child Welfare Worker is there in the best interest of the child. And so There's usually like a permanency plan that they have to abide by certain criteria, you know, maintain their health, checkups, the cultural healer is like a resource, not only to the parents, but to, you know, the guardians, foster families, there all types of, the child contacts. So whoever the child's involved with, these cultural healers would have access to help bring that cultural component into the child's life.
Yeah, I'm just asking to ensure that every Oneida child has access, no matter what or who says no to modern medicine. And I'm not against cultural healers. I remember a long time ago I had a motorcycle accident and I broke right across my face. And I went to every hospital in the area and they said, we can't help you. You want to wear a cast through your whole face? Well, the medicine man came and he sang some songs and he crushed my face and it hurt like heck. But you know what? I walked away from that guy and I wasn't bouncing anymore. So it's not against cultural healing. It's just to ensure that kids are protected. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the deferring the questions to a BC work meeting? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up, we have appointments. We have appointment for one applicant to the Board of Managers for Oneida ESC Group, LLC. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, the position was posted and the process was completed in accordance with appropriate process for corporations. At this time, there is one vacancy and one applicant. The applicant is John Brenninger. And the business committee did complete the process to review the applicant in accordance with the bylaws. So at this time, I'll make a motion to accept the appointment of John Brenninger to the Oneida OESC board.
Second.
So we got a motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to appoint one applicant to the Oneida Election Board in accordance with 102.4-5 for remainder of term ending August 31st, 2019. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this one as well, there was one vacancy and there were a total of five applicants. The business committee did review for qualifications and did review the applicants in accordance with the comprehensive policy as required, and it is ready to be the suggested person to fill the vacancy as provided that by the chair is ready to be adopted, and I believe that we came to consensus about Peril Huff.
Yes.
I'll make that a motion to accept the recommendation to appoint Peril Huff to the Oneida Election Board.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Discussion? Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
I want to talk about an issue that was brought to my attention because they know I'm going to talk about it up here or with somebody, is that there's some issues at GTC regarding the election board's accurate counting of votes. And so it was brought up a couple different times. The first time it wasn't a very reliable source, but the second time it was. And so people are watching the election board actually counting, and the numbers are not correct. And so, you know, we have a big issue coming with this per capita. And so how can we be guaranteed that the election board, who, whether they're for it or not, because most of them are employees, may have an accurate count? You know, do we have to have somebody policing them, or how will that happen?
No, Nancy, I think I would just have to suggest that if you have specific accusations against specific members of the election board, that those complaints should be filed with the election board so they can go through a process to do an investigation.
Well, what about at GTC? If you're watching them click four times but there was seven votes, what would be the proper, I guess, you know, point of order or whatever it is regarding an accurate count? All I'm looking for is accuracy. You know, I'm not looking for who's on what side of what. I'm looking for, if it's a close vote, the discrepancy.
Joanne?
But I think attempting to determine how many votes an election board member is counted by watching how many clicks they made in regards to any specific row probably is not going to be an accurate reflection of how they're counting. They may be adding those in the row before, including them in the row behind as they're walking past and making those eyeball counts. The General Tribal Council has accepted a voice vote, A's and nays, and determined on the volume whether or not a motion passed. They've relied upon raising your hands, the amount of hands raised versus the A's and nays is generally a discretionary decision. Counting how many people raised their hand in that room by the election board is a step up from that. If there is a specific allegation that the counts are not right, as the chairman indicated, that should be raised at the meeting at the time when the vote is accepted by the chairman and noticed to the membership and clearly identified why that individual member believes the vote is wrong. One of the things that the election board is prepared at every single meeting is to do a ballot count. A simple yes-no ballot has been made available and in preparation for these types of meetings for them to run through the ballot tabulating machines that they have. The problem is that such an action with 1,800 people in the room would take over 45 minutes for every single ballot count. So the election board members take an oath of office. They uphold it to the best of their ability to be objective in their accounts, the same as business committee members, the same as myself, the same as division directors. Members don't have that same responsibility in a General Tribal Council meeting, but one would hope that they're acting in a manner that is in the best interest of the tribe. So with that as the basis, we move forward in all of our activities. In order to deviate from that, it's important to clearly identify what the problem is by the individual who saw the problem. And by raising that at a General Tribal Council meeting, we can move forward to strengthen those to do recounts or ultimately go to ballot counting systems or other systems. But right now, in a General Tribal Council meeting, the members have clearly identified they have a trust in the election board and in the chair, and when they believe that the vote is wrong, that the chair hasn't accurately looked at the raised hands or in the past listened to the voices, they've called for that ballot count, for that hand count by the election board, and that's what we rely on at this point. The only other methodology after that would be to go to the electronic balloting yes-no system. And the amount of time that would take would severely impact General Tribal Council meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have questions on the appointment of Pearl Huff?
I have a question for on page 47. It's not about Pearl Huff. On the bottom, it says election. On the bottom of page 47, where it says election, when did we start following the state statutes? It says state statute 102.4-5. And there's a couple of other places within the minutes that I noticed that it says under travel requests it has state statutes. That's a state statute.
That's our election law.
Excuse me?
That's our election law.
Oh, well, I only recognize that. I took paralegal classes and legal classes, and that's a state statute. So maybe you can...
Actually, that's the section.
I'm only repeating what I saw in the law books, and that usually refers to a state statute.
Section symbol. All right, thank you for your comments. Any other questions on the appointment? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. The next appointment is to review the recommendations, determine next steps for the 8 personnel selection committee vacancies. There was three applicants. So I submitted a memo. As a part of the current appointment process, I've included the full Oneida Business Committee in review of the applicants to arrive at a consensus decision. It is my belief that the results in the appointment of an applicant that more strongly represents the Oneida Nation than the Oneida Business Committee. The appointment process is a political decision made by the Oneida Business Committee, and no reason for or against an appointment is required to be given. However, in this instance, we believe that that providing our reasons for not making the selection is important on two levels. First, we want to encourage as many members as possible to apply to be on the Personnel Selection Committee. It is possible that members felt that prior to the Personnel Commission, members would automatically be appointed to this new entity. We hope that this will encourage members to apply in our reposting of the Personnel Selection Committee. Second, the two individuals were members of the previous Personnel Commission who were held in contempt of court for two offenses directly related to the Personnel Commission's failure to carry out their responsibilities and orders of the judiciary. This contempt order of the Personnel Commission was not issued when the Oneida Business Committee had invited each of the existing Personnel Commissioners to apply for the revamped Personnel Selection Committee. However, within a week of extending this invitation to the Personnel Commission members to apply, the Oneida Business Committee received an order that judiciary notifying us of a decision to hold the Personnel Commission in contempt of court. My recommendations are as follows. Appoint Barbara J. Cornelius to the Personnel Selection Committee, and two, to direct the Secretary to repost the vacancies on the Personnel Selection Committee for an additional 30 days.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion by Lisa Summers, second by Daniel Guzman King. Discussion? Kathy?
Thank you.
I also have a question after Kathy.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
It is my belief, and I believe in this wholeheartedly, that what you did was inappropriate and illegal, and it doesn't belong here on this floor. It belongs on the GTC floor, and it is my belief that I don't know any other way to say it, but I think it's just a form of dictatorship.
All right, thank you for your opinion, Kathy. Mike, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My question to all of you up there is this. I'm wondering if we're not jumping the gun here a bit, because I look at this and say, to me, there's a petition coming forward, and that petition, I think, is what slated for to be heard in September. And what worries me is the fact that you guys are pushing ahead right now with this and doing this. What happens if we get to the floor of GTC and GTC says, no, we're not doing that, we're going to unwind everything? Now that means all the time and all the energy and all the effort that's been expounded has been expounded for nothing. So I'm wondering if it's just better, to hold off on this until GTC does hear.
Mike, at this point, we're here to conduct business of the nation and be representatives of General Tribal Council when not in session. And so it is, I guess, our stance that, when tribal members submit a GTC petition, work continues until just GTC makes that decision. So work has to continue on, and just because someone submitted a petition doesn't mean that that petition is going to be adopted by a General Tribal Council. So work has to continue on. There's processes that need to be fulfilled and vacancies that need to be filled in the process to make sure that we're following the laws to the best of our abilities. Okay. Thank you. Lisa?
Yeah, I would just like to add to your comments, Mr. Chairman, that, and for Mike, that just taking it one step further, there is an existing General Tribal Council directive to have the Personnel Selection Committee in place, and while we do understand that there's a petition to review the decision, there is still a requirement that we have to fulfill regarding the current General Tribal Council directive, and that's what we're also following. So I just want to make sure that there's an understanding here that there's not an absence of direction. There is direction already provided to the business committee, and we're following that direction.
David?
When was that a directive from GTC?
Oh, my gosh. The beginning of the Blue Book? I don't know. I don't know the date off the top of my head. It was a long time ago. The 80s. The 80s.
All right. David?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just asking, what length of term will this one person sit for, 1, 2, or 3 years?
I guess at this point I would recommend the full 3-year term.
I'm sorry, I couldn't even hear what David was saying.
David asked, because they're looking to stagger the vacancies, so he asked what length of term this person would be appointed to, and I'm suggesting that they would get the full 3-year term as being the first applicant to be potentially accepted at today's meeting.
Also note that in my motion.
I got green on this side. Yeah. Lisa, you had a note for your motion.
I'll note in my motion that it's for the 3-year term.
Okay. All right, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
I have a question. What is the process that's currently being followed for new hires? Who is selecting and how is that process right. being followed while you're trying to...
I'll have Geraldine come up and answer that particular question.
We're following the normal process for hiring with the exception that we don't have a PC in the room. We are tracking those right now, and we hired since April 1st, 43 employees without the personnel committee.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you were saying. Please.
We follow the normal hiring process minus the personnel commission members.
So who is sitting in on the selection and the interviews, and how is that? Because before, it was them.
It's an HR representative. It'll be the supervisor, the area manager at their discretion. And in some instances, for area manager on up, I will be sitting in the interviews.
Okay, thanks.
All right, David?
And Geraldine, can you also clarify that this happened one other time in the past?
Yes, it did.
And give the example?
Yeah, it happened several years ago when the Personnel Commission did not want to participate due to a stipend issue, I believe it was. And we moved forward with the hiring at that time without the Personnel Commission.
Any more questions or comments on the selection of the one? All right, seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review recommendation, determine next steps regarding one Oneida, Anna John Resident Center Care Community Board vacancy. This one, there was two applicants. And I am recommending Patricia Moore.
So moved.
Second. Motion by David Jordan, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Nancy, you have discussion on this item?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes.
The Anna John Resident Care Centered Care Board. Are they repeat customers? They're right up there with CIOTs without submitting a semi-annual and an annual report. And, you know, they're not the only ones. We have a list of people, for whatever reason, aren't submitting reports. And so, you know, how do you get them to do that? If they have a board and they're not reporting and you have a budget, what's the process? Because these are repeat customers along with CIOTs and a couple of others that are thrown in on the bandwagon, and then they back off and then they come back without reporting again. So what is the process that you have developed when they don't report? Are there stipends held? Are they warned? 3 warnings? And I don't understand, because that's not okay.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on the nature of the board, if it's a corporate board or if it's an elected board or an appointed board. Generally, with the appointed boards, we have a greater latitude in, I guess, the repercussions that can be had. So for the appointed boards, it's been the practice of the business committee, if they're not getting their reports in on time regularly, to withhold those stipends until such time as they get those reports in. And elected boards is a bit different because they are elected and we don't have as much authority over them. So that's more of just reporting it to General Travel Council and letting, you know, GTC know that, you know, these are the people you elected and they're not fully carrying out the duties and responsibilities of those elected positions. Any other questions on the appointment? Seeing none, we'll vote. Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review recommendation and determine next steps regarding two Oneida Nation Arts Board vacancies. There's two vacancies and two applicants, and so I'm recommending Marina Bridges and Mary Walter be appointed to the Oneida Nation Arts Board.
So moved.
Second.
That's a motion by Jenny, seconded by Brandon. David?
Mr. Chairman, we also need clarification. One of them is a 2021 term, and the other one is 2022 term. They have to be identified.
Okay. I would recommend Miranda Bridges for the longer term of the two. Does the motioner and seconder concur?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Nancy, do you have a discussion on this item as well?
Yes, I do.
All right, you have 5 minutes.
I don't want to offend anyone when I use the term non-Indian, but I think we need to protect our own. There are enough tribal members, enrolled tribal members. Mary Valthar is not an enrolled tribal member. And there is also another individual who is on the arts board that is not an enrolled tribal member. So do we just open it up to anybody and everybody? And what is her vested interest in this community? And why, you know, where'd she come from? You know, I know who she is and where she used to work. But I would caution opening up boards, committees, and commissions to not enrolled tribal members. I think we need to protect our own and the decisions regarding the money and the programming and all of the things that are in the entity need to be determined by enrolled tribal members. And so if there are no qualifications saying you must be an enrolled tribal member, then I think that seriously needs to be looked at. And if it's, you know, you're saying under the comprehensive board, they form their own bylaws and their own requirements, this is not okay. Now there are two board members on the arts board who are not enrolled tribal members. They're non-Indian.
All right, Nancy, just, I guess, a brief response to your line of questioning is that this is an open process, and we do post, and it's up to our tribal members to, and I guess anybody at this point for this particular board to apply and go through the process. And at this point, there's two vacancies, and there was only two applicants. And from what I'm understanding from the history of this particular, the arts board, is that it was left more open so that you can have a greater participation and also be able to have our tribal members connect with, you know, the non-Indian community art world as well, to make those connections to hopefully have them, if they have a greater experience in being able to market their products or teach them new techniques and whatever kind of art medium that they use. So this isn't necessarily, they don't have any, this is a unstipended board as well, and so there really isn't a whole lot that this particular board determines that has the, in the administrative side of it. This is really just about making those connections and bringing people in and artists in to help widen or perfect our tribal members' artistic techniques.
Well, I hope she has some grants writing ability, because the arts program has been functioning for many, many years. You'd think they'd be self-sustaining right now. And the arts board does make decisions regarding where money goes and who it goes to. And so, you know, I think that it's in the best interest of the tribe, because it's under the Oneida Nation Arts Program, whether the money comes from, and it comes from the tribe and a couple of other little, you know, pots of money, that they have decisions and connections on the outside. So I'm going to caution, doing that.
All right. Thank you for your caution. Any further discussion on the Arts Board appointment? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, under new business, we're just about right on time. We accept the Oneida Nation School Board SOP entitled ONSS Employee Indirect Compensation Trade Back for Cash as Information. Sharon?
Good morning. We had a process with our attorney to update our SOP as we were directed by HR, so it's been updated. The trade back program, the way it works is it's cheaper for us to have our staff be at school, because when they're not at school, they have personal time, then we have to hire a sub. So it's an encouragement for them to be at work. And then at the end of the year, if in fact they have over 200 hours, those are the hours that they get traded back in. So it's like a bonus for them for being at work. Staff that have little kids or, you know, kids that get sick, they usually don't have that much time left. But they, on the contract, they get 10 days a year that they can have personal time. And then it adds up over the years if they're consistent and come to work. Do you have questions?
I'll make a motion, Jenny, to accept as FYI Oneida Nation School Board SOP entitled ONSS Employed Indirect Compensation Trade Back for Cash. FYI.
Motion has made by Jenny, seconded by Brandon. Discussion. Lisa?
So how is the resolution happening between the SOP itself and the policy itself and the decision of the Oneida Business Committee to not allow trade back for cash in this fiscal year?
The school's autonomous, and they have contracts that are approved through the law office. So this is part of the language in the contracts. We've been having this ongoing discussion for years with being able to allow this.
Okay. So just so that I understand, then, you're intending to proceed with trade back for cash despite the decision that the business committee made to not allow trade back for cash in the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
And your other questions or comments on this SOP?
I have a question on this.
Okay, Mike, you got 5 minutes.
My question is this. It's pretty straightforward. Does GTC get a chance to know what those dollar figures are with respect to this trade back for cash? I mean, I understand the position that they're in when they're saying they have to give some incentive to keep the employee at work so they're not hiring subs. But again, that time is cumulative, if I just understood what you said, and it can go for years, and that can accumulate for years. And that gets to be a pretty huge payout. And that causes some concern for me, because I'm thinking that in the general public sense, when teachers' contracts are awarded, it's generally open to the public, because that's paid with taxpayers' dollars. So I'm wondering, are we also able to see those contracts, or at least know, not from a personnel standpoint, but at least know what those dollar values are?
No.
Geraldine?
No, we do not. They are not paid by taxpayers' dollars, and their contracts would fall under the confidentiality of the personnel policies and procedures.
I think...
So it's 100% tribal contribution?
No.
No.
It's grant funded?
Yes, We're a Bureau of Indian Education school. The special ed department is 100% funded. We have ISEP dollars. We have Indian Ed federal dollars. So the salaries for the staff, the majority of them are grant funded. And it's, yeah, Geraldine's right. We're not tax based. They're federal grants, and we follow all the audit and compliance requirements of those federal grants.
Joanne?
If you're talking about Freedom of Information Act requests, you can obtain or submit those requests to, I'm sure it's the BIE, to get a copy of the school's 93638 contract with the federal government. What's going on within the school itself is subject to the tribe's open records, open meetings law. And the open records, open meetings law, consistent with the personnel policies and procedures of this tribe, exempts personnel-related matters from public review. So those contracts are not available. You can see the school's budget in the Joan Tribal Council packet that was submitted or in the materials that are left at the Oneida Library or the other general locations for the financial budget of the tribe, and you can attempt to calculate it out of there. Anything more specific is confidential material. It's not subject to release because it delves too closely to a personnel, individual-related piece of information.
Right. Thank you, Joanne. Mike, does that conclude your questions, or do you have more?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Lisa?
I just have some additional concerns. I'm not okay with the way that the SOP is written as is. It's not clear, and I understand that you do the individual contract negotiations, but it's not clear in the standard, the work standard that's presented, what the maximum hours are, and then what they're allowed to pay, what they're allowed to actually trade back. Those things don't need to be confidential if they're standard. They can be right in this SOP to be clear to everybody because this, you know, and I keep saying it every time we get the report, it's also a liability for us. So if we're intentionally allowing people to accumulate that vacation and personal time so that they can intentionally trade it back at the end of the year in order to provide that incentivization for them to stay in to stay in the classroom during the school year, then we also need to make sure that we're clear about what the parameters are. And I'll give you a for instance. On 3.5.4 of the procedure, it states that employee is responsible annually for requesting the hours accumulated over any maximum hours, number of hours allowed to occur under the then current employee contract. Why would they be accumulating hours over the maximum allowed to begin with? So those are things that are not clear in here. I don't think it's an appropriate statement to have in here because you're already telling us then that if there's a max in the contract, they're going to be allowed to go over it, and then that's the amount that they can trade back.
Yes.
And now you have a different max, and now they're held at the max. So if we're going to say that the industry is going to be treated differently, I'm not opposed to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to the school treating their employees separately, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I disagree with the policy that's being promulgated here. I don't think it's clear, and I think that it does set a bad precedent then for the rest of the organization, because whether we like it or not, we can argue that it's separate all day long, but we all know that we have a very terrible habit of providing policy from across the board's perspectives, and we need to make sure that we're clear about what that's going to be then moving forward so that we can articulate it accurately and correctly, HRD can articulate it accurately and correctly, and so can the school board. So I'm not okay with the way it's written for those reasons.
Geraldine, you said you had a comment too.
Yeah, Lisa pretty much covered it because I think when we changed the cap to 280 with General Tribal Council, there wasn't an exception for anybody, and that's part of what I think also needs to apply to the school here or take it back to General Tribal Council to get that exception. I don't believe that there was anybody there. I think Lisa pretty much covered everything that I had.
Nancy, you have 5 minutes.
Okay, you know, you do it for one, you do it for all. They're professionals, they have license, they're teachers, but then, you know, somebody can come in and say, well, I'm a medical provider, and I have 300 hours that I can't take because I'm a doctor, and no one can take my place. So you're opening the door, you're setting precedent. I also have a problem with people who call themselves autonomous. You're not. You know, you receive money from the tribe, your building's from the tribe, you receive grant money, you're under the umbrella of the tribe. So nobody's autonomous. The trust committee's not autonomous. The school's not autonomous. A doctor's not autonomous. You either follow all the rules or you don't. And so if you know that you have 6 or 10 teachers who are at the max and you're signing their contracts and they're coming back, what is the process that you are putting in place to make sure that there is coverage for those teachers because of those caps? And I wrote down, you know, a 280-hour cap, which is a lot. And it's going back to what was previously brought up here, is that we currently have a $6 million liability regarding personal and vacation time. We don't know what's going to happen. We cannot predict what will happen. But if there were layoffs, those people would still need to be paid that amount. And I'm for take it off. Go home and, you know, take a break. No one is expected to work an entire school year without taking time off. So I think there's some gaps in the planning process of making sure that there are substitutes there. And then I'm concerned about the liability, and I'm concerned about the word autonomous.
I think Nancy just addressed the one question about the substitute teachers. It's not that they're not available. It's just that they discourage, essentially through this process, teachers not taking time off so that they don't have to pay the personal vacation time for the teacher and then also the additional cost of paying for a substitute teacher.
Well, so what's the difference?
The difference is there's not a shortage. They're not available to bring in substitute teachers. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're not planning properly, is I guess what I should have said.
Substitute teachers are on an on-call basis, and they know that when they notify a school that they wish to be included on their list for calls for whatever grades or specific line of studies. So it's not planned for. It is planned for, and there is a list of substitute teachers that are available. Joanne?
But I think the question at that point is, instead of paying just two salaries, the substitute teacher, the teacher going through the entire school year and then paying back, doing a trade back for cash for that personal vacation time, they're encouraging them not to take. If they take the time off, you'll be paying the teacher's salary, the payout of the personal vacation time, as well as the substitute teacher salary. So there's a potential for three levels of revenues to be occurring. Notwithstanding all of that, the school board, by a general tribal council action, is independent in its management of its employment base. That doesn't mean that it shouldn't take into account the finances of the tribe and how the tribe is operating in regards to its larger employment base. The teachers are a unique group. The retail employees, associates, are a unique group. Blackjack dealers are a unique group. The bus drivers are a unique group. Doctors over at the health center, again, a unique group. They have different demands on their time and different requirements for what they're doing. Those types of unique groups can be found throughout this entire organization. And we attempt to apply a general rule to every employee. It never really works out quite right. We have to find these exceptions. We have to tailor these rules to meet all these unique scenarios. The difficulty I'm having with the SOP that's presented for FYI is that it isn't clear and it doesn't have planning involved in it. I believe that the school has the authority to adopt an SOP that is different from the tribe's SOP. But they have the authority to adopt a standard operating procedure that authorizes trade back for cash based on their financial resources and their unique needs. But it isn't planned well. There are so many exceptions to the policy that's presented here. that there is no policy at all. Yes, the school board has the discretion to modify a contract to address trade back for cash needs, to address personal vacation time needs, but they shouldn't do that. There should be some uniformity in it. And given that every year they go through these types of contract negotiations, they should plan this for the next fiscal year or for the next school year and address it in that manner. And then the standard operating procedure could clearly identify how trade back for cash is operating. The other is that the tribe system identifies a maximum amount of trade back for cash, and then an authorization of an amount for trade back for cash, which may not be up to the maximum amount, depending on the financial stability of the nation in that fiscal year. This standard operating procedures doesn't account for that particular issue and doesn't address any kind of cap. So I think when you're looking at a standard operating procedure, this one I don't believe meets the needs of the school on a long-term basis, and I think it should be reconsidered by the school board to address these issues and looked at to be implemented in the next fiscal year in the next school year as opposed to this school year, and they manage through the normal processes their vacation personal time, especially given since the school year is over. Mm-hmm. Surprised. Is over. So there is no immediate need to address this issue until they begin issuing contracts, and they can do this at this time. So thank you very much.
All right, Kathy, do you have a question? You have 5 minutes.
I was looking for the memorandum of agreement. Is it in this packet?
The memorandum of agreement is available on the tribe's website.
Okay. Well, I was looking for it. Now I know where to find it. But I know, I recall when I sat on the school board, there was some issues, and it wasn't very pretty. But and it had to do with the memorandum of agreement. And there were some problems over there, and they couldn't be taken care of because of the MOA. But with all the reorganization that's going on, and I look at this 1988 responsibilities. When is that going to be revised and updated? And because I know there was issues with it in the past. And we're all unique, each and every one of us. And if you're going to give payback for cash, which seems to be a lot of controversies at times, give it to everybody. Not just those people that think they're more unique than the other unique people. Thank you.
Ed, you got 5 minutes.
Yeah. I agree with Joanne. Teachers are unique, and the profession is unique. And you can't cross-train like the organization does. The children's educational program are interrupted when a substitute comes in often. Studies have shown that. Like I said, like Joanne said, they are unique. You need, I think that's why a long time ago they recreated that MOA, because the school can't be the same as a casino. And it can't be the same as a library. They're all different, and they have unique needs. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ed, for your comments. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion to table this item until the school board comes back with proposed resolutions to the concerns that were addressed here today.
Second.
So I recognize Lisa, and she's requesting the table of this item so that the questions could be answered and addressed. Seconded by Kirby. And there's no discussion on a tabling, so we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gathering our feedback. The next item under new business is to delegate representative for the Native Nations UW Advisory Council. Brandon's the sponsor.
This is a request from the University of Wisconsin of Colleges provost establishing a Native Nations advisory work group, and they're looking for delegates from the tribes to initiate, advisory, educational, and research opportunities to incorporate in the university system. And so this request is to delegate. We have Jennifer Hill Kelly as a representative, be delegate from the tribe that would be able to initiate some of those conversations with the university systems and how to incorporate some different curriculum, research opportunities with the system to be able to work with the tribes and providing, more diverse educational opportunities for all students, not only indigenous, but all populations. And so I'll make a motion to appoint and delegate Jennifer Hill Kelly as our delegate.
Second.
Motion by Brian Stevens, seconded by Jennifer Webster. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, C, approve exception to resolution BC-09-0-27-17D. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This request is being brought forward at the business committee's suggested time changes for the start of the regular business committee meeting for July 11th. On the day before Tuesday, July 10th, there will be a special general tribal council meeting in anticipation of that meeting running a little bit longer into the evening as they usually do. We're just asking for the start time of the meeting to be pushed back. The resolution that we need the exception to is the one that sets the dates and the times for the start of the BC meetings. So therefore, we would just need an exception to that in order for us to start the meeting later. And I believe the agreed upon time was 10 o'clock a.m.? 1 or 1:30? Okay. I'm not sure. I need clarification on that, but it was to have a later start time on that date. And we can do the posting however you like, but we needed to bring it forward for a formal action.
So what kind of time do you guys want to start?
One p.m.
Is there any opposition to 1 p.m.? Seeing none, we'll insert 1 p.m. So the requested action is to approve an exception to resolution BC-09-27-17D and begin the July 11th, 2018 regular Oneida Business Committee meeting at 1 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is D, to enter e-poll results into the record in accordance with OBC SOP entitled Conducting Electronic Voting. Approve letter of support for the Mashampee Wampanoag Tribe Reservation Reaffirmation Act. Brandon?
Motion to approve. A motion to enter the e-poll results into the record.
Second.
Motion by Brandon, seconded by Lisa. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is travel reports. Approved travel report, Councilman Kirby Matoxin to the 8th Annual USSIF Conference, May 30th to June 2nd, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Motion by David, seconded by Brandon. Discussion. Ed, you got 5 minutes.
This is the sustainability conference you attended. Reading over that, It had a part, two sections that I was interested in. The section where they talk about building corporational associations with companies that are agreed to sustain the earth itself. There are companies that don't care about the earth, and then there are companies that do. And I understand that they were supporting, you know, being good to our earth. The second one was the housing issue and how affordable housing is so desperately needed, I guess, throughout the United States. And I'll guarantee you it's here, too. I know this this weekend I was helping two families, related families. One was a single grandmother, and the other one was a woman with three children. They were totally homeless. When I told them I probably wasn't going to support the per cap, I almost got my head bit off because they needed that money so bad. And I, you know, if I thought the money was there, I would totally support it. But that's another issue. Housing and the environment. Those are the two issues that are very important in Oneida. And it's also two issues that I believe that we're not doing a good job in. On the environment, we mandate that people live in houses that are a certain size. Even people who are single, or young couples, they're mandated to live in a house that is at least 800 square feet. But maybe they don't need it. I know when you're young and you only have your spouse or maybe one child, you need very little space. But if you want to live on the Oneida Reservation in your own house, you have to build something that's mandated a certain size, and you can't go below that. And when you do that, when you mandate that people live in a bigger house than what they need, that's an attack on the environment. That increases your footprint on how you affect the earth. So I think we need to think about things like that. We advocate publicly that we care about our Mother Earth and that that's all important to us. And I think we believe that. But we need to create policies that show it. And I'm going to be doing a petition. No, I'm not. After I read your article, I'm not going to do a petition. Because in the Galawizex, you wrote how to do it through the LLC. So I'm going to give that a try, how we can change our zoning.
Thank you for reading.
Yeah, I read. So I'm going to try and do something like that. You know, it's important that we take care of our earth, and it's important that Oneidas live on this reservation. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your comments, Ed. Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
I just wanted to see if anyone else from the trust department or the trust committee went on this travel also.
Yes, there were two commissioners from the trust committee, Tracy Matoxin and Benashi Benton.
Okay, I understand we have a new trust department manager. Did that individual go?
No, he wasn't hired then.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the travel report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the travel requests. Travel request in accordance with 219.16-1, 5 Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division staff to Tribal Lands and Environment Forum in Spokane, Washington, August 13th through the 17th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa. Further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next request is Treasurer Trish King to the National Intertribal Tax Alliance Conference, Airway Heights, Washington, August 26th through September 2nd.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. Discussion?
I have a question.
Mark, David?
Just checking out, the conference is really August 26th through the 2nd. I guess I'm just wondering why the conference is over on August 30th at noon. Just wondering the reason why it's extended to the 2nd.
I don't know.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the request? All right, there's a motion made by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. David? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I'm also going to ask for this, ask for the chair or the treasurer's office to provide clarification on the dates. I think if I'm understanding this correctly, it's probably just a typo, just an error, but I would like clarification.
Okay, so Lisa's requesting clarification from the treasurer's office on the dates. There potentially is a typo. All right, we'll go on to the next item. Is to request by Councilwoman Jennifer Webster to the Department of Interior Self-Governance Advisory Committee, IHS Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Council. Third quarter meeting, Washington, D.C., July 17th through the 20th.
Motion to approve.
Just a quick question on this one.
Okay. Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Discussion, Lisa?
I didn't see the actual agenda, but now that I see the description, the DOI part is on the 17th, so you're going to do that one as well?
I know you're interested in that.
Well, I don't need to be. But I would like to see you go if you're going to be there for the other one to just that one too.
I'd cover that as well.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Any further discussion on the travel requests? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Abstain.
One abstention. Jenny. Enter e-poll results into the record in accordance with OBC SOP entitled Conducting Electronic Voting. A, we have a failed travel request from Councilman Ernie Stevens III, Progressive Pay It Forward to the 5th Annual NLC Wisconsin Fundraiser in Madison, June 7th.
Motion to enter into the record.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions, motion carries. The next e-poll to enter into the record in accordance with 219.16-18 individuals to special election in Milwaukee, July 13th through the 15th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions, motion carries. The third item under e-polls, Councilman Daniel Guzman King, TSGAC, fiscal year 2019, Bemidji Area Pre-Negotiation, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 20th through the 22nd.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Lisa, to enter into the record the travel request. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Operational reports. Okay. We got General Tribal Council section. We have the petitioner Gladys Dallas, the $5,000 per capita payment. Got two requested actions: to accept the financial analysis and to accept the legal analysis.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the fiscal impact statement dated June 8th, 2018, regarding the Gladys Dallas petition for the $5,000 per capita.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Brandon. Discussion? We got discussion, Nancy. You got 5 minutes.
Okay. Once again, the marquee out on the Norbert Hill grounds is wrong.
I noted it, and it's being fixed.
Okay, so that's the second time. You know, we have people coming into the area this weekend. I don't know who's responsible for it, but, you know, that's unacceptable, and it's the second time.
All right, notice that it's being addressed. So there's a motion by Lisa, second by Brandon, to accept the fiscal. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So we're still looking for a motion to accept the legal analysis.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. That was deleted in the adoption of the agenda. So we're moving on to executive session. Executive session reports. Going to accept the chief counsel report.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the chief counsel report provided June 25th, 2019.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, Kirby. Kirby was the seconder. Sorry. Lisa, motioner. Kirby, seconder. I'll redo the count. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa?
Follow-up motion, Mr. Chair. I'll make a motion to approve the Levin, Papantino, Thomas, Mitchell, Rafferty, and Protector PPA Authority to represent file number 2018-0780.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
There is a follow-up motion requested, but I'm not making it.
Okay, so there's a suggestion motion to approve addendum number one to the Michelle Gordon staff attorney contract.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer Webster, second by David Jordan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Lisa, motion carries. The fourth item is to accept the legal opinion and financial opinion dated June 25th, 2018 regarding the room tax law and revenues.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next report is the accept the Chief Financial Officer's report, June 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. They're looking for a follow-up, direct the treasurer to work with finance to assign a finance representative to the strategic workforce planning team.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications June 2018 report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Subsequent motion is to approve the travel request for myself, Chairman Dasa Hill, to attend the Tribal Leaders State Budget Discussion in Red Cliff, Wisconsin, July 11th through the 12th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next items, still land claim strategy, accept the New York property status update as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation Ladies Professional Golf Association to accept the June report.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. There was no requested action in the land mortgage funds. All right, Audit Committee. Accept the May 10th, 2018 Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is accept the final Oneida Seven Generations Corporation's performance assurance, audit, and lift confidentiality requirement. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under audit committee is accept the roulette rules of play compliance audit and lift confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under audit is to accept the Ultimate Texas Hold'em Rules of Play and Compliance Audit and Lift Confidentiality Requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. There was no tabled items, unfinished business, except closeout report regarding complaint 2018-DR11-01. Determine next steps.
So moved.
Make a motion to accept the written report regarding complaint 2018-DR11-01.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby to accept the written report. Lisa?
I just want clarification, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that we asked for the final changes to be made and to be submitted. And as of this morning, I haven't seen the final that we... I think that the motion is premature at this time. And I guess because we haven't received it and we're ready to act on it, I would just ask for it to be deferred one more meeting.
Jessica sent it this
morning.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I didn't see it then.
Yesterday.
So then, my bad. It's fine. I'll retract my comments.
All right. So the report was submitted, I guess. And so we're going to, there's a motion by Jenny and seconded by Kirby to accept the written report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, we got adopt resolution entitled authorization of a limited waiver of sovereign immunity specifying. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. So I'm sorry. Backing up to unfinished business, there was a subsequent suggested motion to approve the recommendation listed in the written report dated June 27, 2018, regarding complaint 2018-DR11-01.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Now down to new business. F1, adopt resolution entitled authorizing limited waiver of sovereign immunity specifying governing law reauthorization of a forum for resolution of disputes and reaffirmation of certain contractual rights and duties. So So the suggestion, Molson, is to approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity regarding the Second Amendment to the leasehold mortgage assignment of lease and rents, security agreement, and fixture financing statement, and the reaffirmation and Second Amendment of consent, the non-disturbance and attorney or attorney agreement, file number 2018-0573.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Subsequent motion to adopt resolution entitled Authorizing a Limited Waiver of Sovereign Immunity, specifying governing law, reauthorization of a form of resolution of disputes, and reaffirmation of certain contractual rights and duties.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, review applicants for one vacancy, Board of Managers for the Oneida ESC Group, LLC. Has accepted discussion regarding the applicants for one vacancy on the Board of Managers of Oneida ESC Group, LLC as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, review applications for one vacancy for the Oneida Election Board for remainder of term ending August 31st, 2019. The motion is to accept the discussion regarding application for one vacancy for the Oneida Election Board as information.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The fourth item, review applications for eight vacancies for the Personnel Selection Committee. The suggested motion is to accept the discussion regarding application for eight vacancies on the Personnel Selection Committee as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The fifth item is to review applicants for one vacancy for the Anajon Resident Center Care Community Board. The suggested motion accept the discussion regarding the application for one vacancy on the Anajon Resident Center Care Community Board as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The sixth item is to review applications for two vacancies on the Oneida Nation Arts Board. The suggested motion is to accept the discussion regarding the applications for the two vacancies on the Oneida Nation Arts Board as information.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The seventh item, review business opportunity and determine next steps. The suggested motion is to accept as information.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Excuse me, I have a question on this item. There's nothing in the packet.
This is executive session item, so there will be nothing in the packet.
So you're accepting a review of a business opportunity. When do we get to look at it?
You might not never be able to look at it. It's confidential. That's why it's an executive session.
Okay.
Thank you. The eighth and final item under new business is review the tribal family care option agreement and determine next steps. Suggested motion to approve the Wisconsin Department of Health Services family care agreement between Division of Medicaid Services and Oneida Nation and Lakeland Care, Inc. agreement file 2018-0798.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
I have a comment to make.
Looking for a motion to adjourn at 10:50.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.